Okay, if you open up your statements that you get from your retirement accounts, I hope you do. Everyone should be doing it. You might have seen something new there. It basically tells you how much you're going to make in your retirement per month, and it's certainly an estimate at that. It's a new thing, and it's certainly worrying some people. Here to talk about that is Professor Richard Kaplan of the University of Illinois. Professor, thanks for hopping on with us.
Sure thing. Thank you for having me.
Have I described that correct? This is part of the Setting Every Community Up for Retirement Enhancement Act, which is a long name that was passed in December of 2019.
You're exactly right. The idea was that up till now, almost every quarterly statement and the information available online has shown what the retirement account has a balance. But most people don't think of it in terms of how much the entire amount is worth. They want to know how much monthly income they're going to be able to have to make it comparable to their pre-retirement salary income. And that information has not been readily available. Some financial planners would try to come up with estimates, but the idea of these new disclosures is that the retirement plan providers are supposed to provide some estimate of how much, when a person reaches 67, they would get from their current balance if nothing else changes.
That's interesting, and I get why they want to do that, because not everyone's like me, who I've used every retirement calculator I have out there trying to mix and match and move the dials to figure out when I might be able to retire and how much I'm going to have. But I think people look at that gross number and see $300,000 and they think, oh, I'm okay. But when they see $750 a month, they panic. And my only question is, though, what metrics are they using? Do they outline, because in normal retirement calculators, you can kind of say, I'm going to count on Social Security too, or we're going to get this much back, or that's going to be our estimate. What are they using as a baseline?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that the estimate is going to vary quite a bit depending on the assumptions and the parameters. And the requirement is not just for a dollar amount, but also a formal statement explaining what are the parameters. So, for example, they assume that a person is not going to retire until age 67. That's the full retirement age for most current workers under Social Security. The fact of the matter is almost two-thirds of Americans retire prior to that age, but they needed to pick some age, and that's the one they chose.
Right.
Similarly, they assume that if you're married, that your spouse is the exact same age as you are.
Huh.
That may be the case, that may not be. And then, just to throw out another one, they assume that you will live the typical amount for people of your age without taking into account of the fact that women tend to live longer. So they're using gender-neutral tables, which is what's required by the federal government. But in terms of actuality, people are going to want either the male table or the female table and not some combination.
And no assumption of Social Security. That's not included in this at all either.
That's right. Social Security already provides estimates as to how much people will get every month. So if anything, this will make it easier to say Social Security is saying I will get $2,000, and here this particular amount, this particular account will say I'm going to get $800, and so you can add the two of them and see what your total retirement income will be. Now at least they're making it apples to apples.
I don't want to put your make you put your head inside of a lawmaker's head, because I don't think anyone wants to be there. But is the ultimate goal that, hey, here's a number, do a little bit more research? I guess it motivates people to go, okay, that might be my number. I need to look into this more. I need to pay a little bit more attention and see really where I'm at. If anything, just motivates them to take that extra step.
I think you're exactly right. The basic premise was that people are not saving enough for retirement. And part of the problem in the legislators' proverbial mind was they think that most people are under the impression that they're doing just fine, that they see these six-figure numbers on their account and figure they're doing all the saving they need. And what this is intended to do is to provide a wake-up call to say, if you don't do more savings than what you've got right now, here's what you're going to get. If that's adequate, then you don't need to do anything differently. But particularly for younger workers, the idea was that this might stimulate a mid-course correction, and maybe people would start to save more, realizing that they haven't saved quite as much as what they're going to need, contrary to what that big number looks like on the quarterly statement.
Well, I'm all about that, and saving younger and younger and as much as you can. You might have mentioned this. They assume a 3% long-term rate of return?
No, they use, that's the current rate, they're using the 10-year Treasury model. And Treasury bond, and that's what it is right now, although in light of the Federal Reserve's actions this afternoon, that rate will go up. And so that's going to be the current rate, and that's as good as any other, but over time, it may be very different, and for younger workers, they'd probably be more interested in a longer-term Treasury security rate, and that's not what they're using. They're using the 10-year security rate.
Makes sense. Professor Kaplan, thanks for breaking this down for us. We appreciate it.
Anytime, John. Thanks so much for calling.